God is working hard. This time God has set himself. He must do some kind of service. He must have planned it all out. He will come to you. Yeah? Or did he get all the shelter here in the end?
Well, when it first came?
Yeah. Nah. This time was when
he came.
Today? No, when he came this July. Then his mother left him.
Yes, I told him.
They have a good rest here.
Look at the cover.
Look at that
building
here.
I didn't know
there
was something.
Huh?
I bought Mr. Pentner. Ripping bars.
I have one tiny
bars.
Yellow one. Do you want to get the tiny one?
Are the ripping bars in the garden? Are the ripping bars in the
garden? They're shattered.
Beautiful marigold. Are they from here? The garden?
No.
They're not from here. Which garden are these?
I'm another club.
I'm another club.
The club.
No, they grow them.
They grow them commercially, though. To sell.
To sell, yes. We had this thing in Spatara, landlord. Very difficult because you should have landlord, all the time you speak. All of a sudden, she'll speak to you, I don't speak to you. Rana also. She's in her room there. When she comes to eat, then again, you're all conversing Gujarati when a sentence or two maybe Rana saying, and then you don't have much practice generally speaking, but you do. I speak broken English. You understand this, okay. What did you say? Yes, I want to say that Satara, we were there in a house that was a nice house, like this house. But English, nice bedroom, and so on. Baba bedroom used to do such a way that the Mandi could come in the night time on separate steps to his bedroom. So very nice, and except the bathroom and everything, very nice. And there was a nice enjoying room with furniture and all that. Parsi landlady. She was on the wealthy sad person because then and what did I start telling you?
About the flowers.
Yeah, then that's the lady who was wealthy and she had lost her husband. They're very funny the story now. Husband's father and everything. They had acquired some kind of wealth. How? That I forget it. And they say that he has buried it. And so they are wondering where it is. I can't imagine that. But that's all forgotten story. She doesn't care about that. Because herself, she's wealthy on her mother's side, wealthy on her husband's side. So she's very well off. She has a very beautiful house in her own garden, which is a lawn and very gardeners, two, three gardeners and their retainers. What call them who look after your compound in your house? Huh?
Servants.
Servants? No, how? There's another way.
Butlers,
handmaids.
No.
Caretaker.
Caretaker. When there's a caretaker who was a Parsi and he saw that everything was okay, then he would go to another place where a farm was, you know. It's a long story. Anyway, Jai Baba. So, what was I saying to get now?
About the flowers.
So, and then the garden, and then this whole street. Can you see the street? All that is her there. It's connected with this house, such a way. From the garden, you can just walk through that part. Jai Baba!
Jai Baba!
Nice to see you. Nice to see you after a long time. What did it sound like? Didn't sound nice. I wish I could see you sooner, but even after a long time. Welcome. How do you like the cold? You like the cold? You don't like the cold, no? You like warm.
I like warm.
Is your health keep well, this dry cold?
It's keeping very well at the moment.
Anyway, as long as you're not uncomfortable. Okay, what he was saying is...
You were walking.
Jai Baba! Yes.
You can walk from the house.
Yes, and then and walk from the house means nothing. Bells, lodges, all trees, all so many that the mango grows there, mango garden, orchards.
Orchards.
So beautiful. All specially planted, the forefathers must have planted. And they're giving lovely, good kind of mango. You know, Pairi, not Alfonso, but another good kind. It's called Pairi. Such good, and when they ride this Parsi caretaker who what do you call it? And just love Baba. They had great respect for Baba. And when he went from on the road to the field from far away, not near far away, he would thank Ji, May Baba Ji, or May Baba Sai, he would call it the father's Parsi. So, he had his family stay with him. Anyway, what I want to say this way, what did I start telling you
about the flowers?
Flowers, so by her order or by the caretakers, that means, you know. But in her own garden, like this garden, and this part again, this open, inside her garden, this big plot like this. So they didn't know what to do, they got an idea that they should grow tube growth, you know, tube growth on the stick.
Beautiful.
The whole plot was so many. Tuberoses.
Tuberoses.
So, you know,
I don't know where I was.
And what is it? Commercial?
Yeah.
So she got one, she gave
about $1.
Bigger.
$6, $7.
Sadly to her. Service, what do they call it? Mali, gardener and all that. Service and nicer. She was not staying in the house most of the time. Or both her children, two children. Two sons and one daughter. And they were very different places. Kodaikanal is a very lovely place somewhere in South India where the Nilgiris are, where the waterways and mountains are very nice. In that place she has her children educated and all that. On the left side. Anyway, what I want to say is this, commercially, as you say, this lady had tuberoses, and they were sold out baskets and baskets, and so beautiful to grow more because they have plenty of manure and water and soil, very good.
You all were staying in her house?
Mm-hmm. We were staying in her house, in another house that was rented, and her house was a little bit further away than that. From far we could see her garden.
That's not Mutta's Baba.
No, Mutta is a Hindu, it's Parsi lady. Hooper, Mrs. Hooper.
Yeah.
So she's very nice. She came once or twice to see Baba. She didn't want to have so much love for Baba. Then once she came, I'm Guru Prasad. I've not seen Baba for a long time. Because she was not in Satara. She was always outside Satara. She didn't want to stay in Satara. The place so quiet. Who wants to stay in Satara? You see? She had a little place, but because the father and Jane were there. Then, they had a place, but now her husband is not there, children go to school. So she didn't want to live alone in the house, their sisters are married. So nobody there. What do with a nice house and a nice garden? But she doesn't want to get rid of it because it's so beautiful. So she paid her servants there, were the bearer, the sweeper, and the butler was living there because if she comes all of a sudden, then she can't go out to look for a butler. The butler's paid there all year round. So when she's there for 15 days a month, now her servants are already there, and a cook also. About five, and there must be gardeners, obviously Mali. Gardeners are there. So all these she can afford to pay to keep the place going, She couldn't find the right place because she's a European lady. She must have a good place. So we thought about this house. It was being vacant, no one staying there. So we sent word to this landlady and can this room, some rooms given to this European lady, and she came to the room, spoiled house. And then I stayed on the wall. Hindus do that. Hindus don't take care of that. So she sent word, of course, and so there was a lovely room upstairs. So this Cornelia, she had a bed sitting room. Now there in one corner, sofa, a writing table, everything just enough for a one. And separate bathroom, very lovely, which was upstairs. And so Cornelia stayed there till Baba stayed there. And then Baba, hey Baba. I thought you were talking to Vedas. All morning you must be with Vedas.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, Vedas has interesting Baba stories. You know what all must stories are you? Must.
Uh-huh.
Vedas told you all his travels with Baba.
He was telling about his tours with Baba and some very nice stories.
Yeah. And with Gustaji too. There were such fun stories.
Gustaji stories also very funny stories.
Yeah.
He tell you about how Gustaji got shut in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And then also
yes.
All funny things were happening to Gustaji. And Gustaji being on silence, you see, you know, he couldn't call out. There was something on the door, and nobody could hear. It was very funny. And also, Nawaz's uncle was called Dada Chandji. Chandji, he called him. Haram was Chandji. Haram was Dada Chandji. The Baba Dada Chandji. The Baba Dada Chandji. But Haram was, his comic stories are even more than Gustaji's, I think. Really, it's worth listening to, but I'm not there to see and tell you about. But one thing I know, I'll tell you about. So, we were in Calicut. We were in blue bus too, and then this was second time. We were in bus too, at people bus. It was blue bus too, but once we came back to Mehrabad and then started again to go towards Bangalore. But was it on the way? Never mind, wherever we were. But we were in Calicut. And Calicut is the seaside, you know. The seaside means the town is inside. You have to go to the villages, 2 miles away or 3 miles away to the sea. But our house was in a lovely bumper and all that. Not garden, anything. A few body palms, a few shelter trees, a nice big bungalow. 25 of us all can fit in there. And Blue Bus, which had only 18 people, Baba had 20 and 25 people all in long journeys, you know, and wouldn't start. We went on, how much uncomfortable were you have to put up with it? Anyway, we were in Calicut. Now, when we were staying separate in a separate house in the far away, we couldn't even see where it was, but there. Chandji was there. Chandji was uncle. Now, Chandji had to obviously on the move because he had to go errands for Baba, service for Baba, go to Bombay here, there, whatever. Anyway, so he was now going to start tomorrow morning, Chandji. He's at Monday. And so Chandji was packing his bag and all that, and it was very serious. And he locked it, and the other people's bags and trunks, all the there, Mandri's bags and trunks, his was there, of course. And then, Baba. Jay Baba, come on.
Three of them.
Ella.
He can't hear very well. So maybe.
Ella, did you show them the way here?
Yes,
I know, we were all lost, wandering in the garden. She comes.
David, it? Good. Then what did I say?
About he was with the mandalay.
Yeah, he was with the mandalay. The bag was there, and he was so serious about leaving. It was
everything.
And night time. So, the next morning, early, he had to get up early and go, get up 5 o'clock and go. Block by the time the train is 7 o'clock, something like that. So in the night time, the just jokingly told him, "Now, Chandji, take care.
Put
your bag to me. That you know, you take your bag and you take ours." Chandji said, "Now, am I so stupid or absent-minded that I can't see my bag? I know my bag. And so they go all went to sleep. And next morning, Tanji all in a hurry got up, took the bag, went off to took the bag, and went off the after having chamber, who went early to station. When he reached the station, before the train could come, it was 10 minutes of the train. He looked at the bag, it was really not his bag. He had gotten another person's bag up to the station. And can you imagine, if the one walked up another person's bag, it wouldn't have been opening the key and all the things that he wanted. Baba's things there to do Baba's work, and then Baba was going for some thing, hopes or print or whatever. On the station, couldn't believe that he really brought another person's bag, and the Mandi told him, take care, and he said, oh, can't I take, no, my bag, you know? But then, being the night time, dark, he just took a bag, and so absent-minded. So he had to rush with the bag, bring it, put it back, rush again to the station, just 2 minutes early when the train started. He got into his bag, and just Baba saved the situation, and it was very funny. And other things also happened, many, many things. But this, Mandi had to tease him for days. Even picture Baba, how much Baba must have teased him. So these are the things that happened.
One time he said goodbye to all of them, and he went to catch the train, and then when they opened the doors in the morning, he was sleeping on the veranda, he had missed the train.
No, but once it was him that happened. He was in the waiting room, and the train was to come another day, so he was in the waiting room, all that, and so much time went, he got to see his time. So then, after a long time, I get ready before the train comes in, so there's a bathroom nearby, so he locked the door, and went to the bathroom and all that, and by the time the train came in, so he sort of tried to open the bathroom door got stuck. It would not open, yes, something went wrong. Anyway, he did not want to do. Come, nobody was in this waiting room, nobody there. Not a coolie, not a porter. So he did not want to do. Then he got on top of that, he shut the potty, got on top
of the potty,
he climbed on it, and there were little letters working like this, through that, shouting to people, who? So many people, garbar, you know, the people talking and running, but train has come. Who's going to hear him? I don't know what happened. Was he left behind in that thing? What do you call it? And heard it? Or did he catch the train? That also I don't know. But this funny thing, Baba had to laugh for days. And why did he have to go and lock himself in the bathroom?
I heard that he crawled out of that window.
Yeah. No! There's slits like that. Snits. That kind of window.
He crawled out.
And he can't jump out of the window like that. High. It was a very low window.
So there were slits.
Like a ventilation. High up there, that sweet. You could just reach out and fall out, but nobody heard it. And then what happened in the end? I forget. But these funny things would happen to Chanji. And who's that yours?
I understand lots of times people would say Gustaji was deaf and dumb.
Yeah.
And then people would feel sorry for him, and he could hear them say that, though. It would make him very mad, but he couldn't speak. So he couldn't explain to people that he wasn't deaf and dumb.
Yeah. But yes, you're going to explain that I can hear. Right?
You just have to sit there
and give up my thing. No, that is very funny. When he was given sweet things to eat, you know, then he said, Baba, then everything was made and took it over. Then he said, Baba, can you have that much or just be thrown away? You know, he silent, so I said, already you take it. So I was getting more. Because I would teach it and be like this. But he went and put it in a piece of paper and bundle. Little bit that is, and then he forgot and was raised there, you know, and getting at it, and what happened to it? And even Baba's pressed on putting sometimes to forget, and this thing happened to Gustaji sometimes. One thing I'll tell you, it may not be very funny, but it is
true.
No, yes, it is true. Gustaji, what happened was this. Baba was in Bombay 1957, I think, after Baba's first accident, second accident was in 56. In 57, we were in Bombay, Arnava's place, 19th month of October. So, Gustaji was here. and so on. He said, and he goes with his brother and about two other mummies who were there. I don't know. He was a man who was there. Just said, he's there. He was not feeling bad or something. So I was taking care of two, three others. And there were cousins. He also took care of this. I think I was done by that time. Yeah. It was very much rest. So we said, yeah. But we said he got bossy after the day. He dropped his body. He just said, and silent, he said, tell Baba, I said, but what he can want to convey, they could understand me, the Kakas and me, I don't know. Anyway, and so, after the 4, 6, 8 days, I don't know, they had to go through the such thing, because Baba had given order once that if ever such thing happened, then all Gustaji's team has to be sent to his brother. You know, his family must have all his team. So, his strong, his clothes, whatever it was. But everybody knew that Gustaji had been with Baba to the west, meaning not the beach and the place, because they had been with Baba. So Gustaji had a wristwatch. Very nice wristwatch. But that was an expensive thing to have, so they looked through the trunk, is it there or not. But they could not find the wristwatch. Oh, they looked high and low, nowhere the wristwatch. How can it be? Gustaji can never give it away, and they'll never give it away. And where is it? So the servants steal or something, you know. So all the puzzling for me. That's all. Looking for it today or next day or so, everywhere. On the shelf. And nowhere. They're old pair of shoes, and they said, we give the shoes away to the poor people there, very old. But it was good that Kakaji put his hand in the shoe. And what do you think? The lovely wristwatch was wrapped in a piece of paper. At the end of the shoe, a little put inside there. Now, is that the place to hide a mosquito? You must put it in a trunk, and he had put it there. It was just like a must, you know. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But they all had to laugh, you know. Suddenly dropped his body over. So this is what I want to say. They found lovely wristwatch in the shoe instead of in his trunk. Yeah. Yes. But after Gustaji dropped his body, so they had to, of course, laugh after 4 days. They found this.
Oh, mine is much higher.
And the shoe, the wristwatch, let me wristwatch it one. And they had to all sit around in Gustaji's room and laugh about it. So Gustaji made him laugh, and then after he dropped his body. He used to make Baba laugh, you know? The science is tell Baba funny stories, and Baba is just amused. One funny story.
Sometimes they just, only the two of them would be in the hall, and Gustaji would be telling a story about a child. In the train, they would have all in time.
What a picture. Did Gustaji ever use an alphabet board, or did he have to do just signs?
No, signs only.
He had his own alphabet.
His own alphabet. Mm. Signs.
But nobody could understand anything.
Except and then, when Baba would have to translate his signs through the alphabet board to somebody that
knew. No. You're really angry, are you?
No.
All right, then. We'll tell you some longer sleeves. Complicated. Mm-hmm. Or what happened with this? You know, this is true. In Pune, there's a rich family, a very wealthy trainer, Irani, who was sitting with his wife, was Irani. They're all pure Iranians, as we call them, not Mr. Parsi. So he was a trainer, he was very expert to horses and all this. Very big.
Horse.
Business.
No, stables.
Stables. Yeah. Many horses ran within. Him, he would train them and this and that, whatever, the other one there. Anyway, this is his business. But his, he had only one daughter at that time. And that daughter was not very beautiful at all, but she was educated. In the convent when I was there, I had seen her.
Testing, yeah.
Hmm?
This is 25th day of November, 1978, at Marazan, and Kitty has asked Rana to speak a little about her experience in the new life in Bombay where they stay, where Baba had sent them. So she'll be explaining that.
Before, Shasta?
Yes.
Before the new life started, we had no idea of whom Baba was going to take of the women. And we were all rather on tenterhooks. And one day Baba called us and announced that he was going to take only four women with him. And that would be Mera, Mani, Dr. Gahir, and Meru. Of course, Kitty and I were extremely disappointed because secretly we had rather looked forward to being on a walking tour with Baba throughout India. But when Baba explained that as conditions were still precarious in the north, where we would be walking, and the authorities would find it very odd that two Western women were on a walking tour through India at that particular time, it might make things difficult for Baba and the group. So we understood Baba's explanation and, of course, had to accept it. And Baba told us that we could go back to our respective countries, I to America and Kitty to England, and his love would always be with us. Or we could stay in India and go to Bombay and live with Mayaji and his family and obey Baba's orders, even though we might never see him again. Of course, that was very difficult to take, but I personally felt that I would be closer to Baba, even though I might never see him again, by staying in India. So I told Baba I wanted to stay in India, and Kitty likewise agreed. So we went to Bombay and stayed with Mirji and his family. And Kitty and I, even though Baba had told us definitely we were not to come, we still had that little glimmer of hope. So we had kept a trunk and a small bag ready and packed with the same amount of clothes that all were to take on the trip. And we used to go for long walks every day in various parts of Bombay. In one way, it helped us to learn to know the city. At the same time, it kept us in trim in case Baba should call us. And more than a month went by, and at last one day we got a letter from Mani, in which he said Baba definitely was not going to call us, and that we should either help Homai in the household or we should get jobs. And that was final. So we inquired from Homai, and of course she didn't need our help in the household. So it meant getting jobs. Well, in India, for two Westerners to get jobs was a very difficult thing.
You had your own private rooms at home?
We had our double room, and we ate with Mirji and his daughter, Pervin. And later on, of course, we take picnic lunch with us. And that's one of the things also. Baba's orders were that we were only to accept food from Homai. We were not to expect anything excepting liquid refreshments wherever we went, visiting Baba people or anywhere. So, as I say, we used to take these long walks, but now it meant looking for a job. So we looked through the newspapers, we went to all the consulates, we went to the YWCA. And because of the restrictions on food and not leaving Bombay, that also interfered. Once or twice, Kitty might have gotten a job, but she couldn't abide by those. She had to abide by those orders of Baba, so she had to refuse the job. Then Homai suddenly realized that we were really serious about looking for a job. And so she reminded Kitty that she used to give music lessons, piano lessons. And so why didn't she try at the Queen Mary's High School, which was a very good high school where her daughter was, and just to give Homai's name to Miss Groom, who was the headmistress at the time, and who was expecting to retire but had not yet had a replacement. So Kitty went down one morning and had her interview, came back looking very cheerful, and I said, "Kitty, did you get a job?" "Yes." "Teaching piano?" "No," said Kitty. "Well, then what?" "Well," she said, she asked me if I would teach English, so I said, "Yes." I said, "Can you?" "Of course," said Kitty. But still, I could tell by the expression in Kitty's eyes that she was holding back on me about something. So I said, Kitty, what have you been up to? And Kitty said, well, I told Miss Groom about you. I said, oh, Kitty, you didn't. But that means a job and teaching. I can't teach and I don't want to teach. And Kitty said, well, have you got a job? I said, no. So then I started thinking over, well, this means getting a job, and that's what God wants me to do. At the same time, I don't know anything about teaching. And here is this woman who has offered me a job, sight unseen, practically. She had told Kitty, Kitty's told her, I have a friend who is an artist, and she needs a job. So she said, tell her to come and see me. Well, that was tantamount to sort of laying the ground for a job. So I thought, here's this woman, doesn't know anything about me, and she still wants to see me. At least out of courtesy, the thing I can do is to go down and thank her very much, but tell her nothing doing. So I went down to the school, and I took my portfolio with me, of some photos I had of some of my work I had done. And she said she would like me to teach drawing at the school. So I decided to make it very clear that I was an artist, yes, but to teach somebody how to paint and all that sort of thing, it was just not my line. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. Then at last I really came down to bedrock by explaining that, to begin with, the idea of standing in front of a class of 35 or 40 children, it was frightening in itself, and I didn't see how I could cope with it. I said, even in my school days, I could hardly talk in front of my classmates without my throat closing up on me. So how was I going to be able to teach these children? And it seemed to me that it would not be possible. So she looked at me and she said, well, if I give you 12 of the best pupils in each class, do you think that will be all right? I said, this is fantastic. I mean, the woman doesn't know anything about me, doesn't know whether I'm capable of teaching or not, and she's offering me her best pupils. And, but how can I refuse? Baba says, get a job. This is my only opportunity of getting a job. And at the same time, this woman is making it easier for me. So I said reluctantly, well, I'll try, maybe. So she said, all right, you try it for a term, and if you find at the end of the term that it doesn't work out, then I'll understand, and it'll be all right. So on those terms, I said, all right. So she told me to go and see the other drawing teacher. So I sat and listened to this woman talk, and the more she talked, the more dismayed I became. Miss Groom walked by, dismissed the teacher, and said, come to my office. And she looked at me and said, Miss Gailey, now what is it? I said, well, if you expect me to teach like the other teacher, then don't engage me, Miss Groom, because it's not possible. And she said, you have carte blanche to do whatever you like. I won't interfere in anything that you do. I said, this is fantastic. So, all right, I started. And at that time, I was only on half day, because I was teaching from about the 5th standard to the 9th standard. And so Kitty, feeling that most of these youngsters were not very strong in English, used to give them a lot of written work. So that meant so many notebooks to take home and so many essays to correct. So I used to help Kitty out in correcting, and then she would do the marking. And this went on for maybe part of a term. When we get a letter for money, that Baba said we could come on a visit on the condition that we got our jobs back when we returned to Bombay. Well, I mean, I felt like saying goodbye to the job, because, I mean, there's nobody in the world who would just let you walk out in the middle of a term unless you had a replacement and it was something very serious, and let you go like that. But the only way we could find out was to ask Miss Groom. So one day we went to her office, and of course, as usual, she was very, very busy, but she took time out for us. And I said, Miss Groom, we've had a letter, and it's very important for us to leave Bombay for a short time. But of course, when we came back, we got our jobs back. And she gave me the sweetest smile, and she said, of course you can go. I knew you wouldn't ask if it wasn't important. She never asked where we were going or why we were going or for how long we would be, only that we were welcome to be welcome when we came back. So we wrote back to Money and said, yes, we could come. Now, another thing that I think made Miss Groom speak like that to us was that she told us shortly after we first joined the school was that from the time we entered the school, the whole atmosphere of the school had changed. Of course, Kitty and I were not conscious of this, but that probably had something to do with her wanting us to come back. So we went, and we joined Baba at that time at Satara. And we had a good long stay with him. I forget now exactly how many weeks we were there. But we had a very good visit, and of course hated to part with Baba and have to go back to Bombay. But he said, no, you must go. And we were welcomed by Miss Groom. And Miss Groom, on that point, started increasing my workload. Not in the drawing classes, but she gave me first-year French for younger pupils, and also classes in literature and essays with some of the younger ones. Kitty had most of the older pupils in the higher classes. And so, I mean, I didn't mind. I was beginning to work in all right. And so time went on, and each one of us sort of got into the work, but it was really very strenuous because Kitty, as I say, gave so much work for these pupils to do, and that made so much work for us to do. And then all these report cards, and then on top of that, Kitty became the class teacher for one of the groups in the 6B. And that was added work. But somehow we managed. We'd work till about 1, 12 o'clock or 1 at night. And the trouble was that what was such a nuisance, trying to catch buses with all this loads of notebooks and things like that. But we did. And then summer came. That summer we had to stay in Bombay. It was very hot, but we weathered it. And then school started again in July. And then we get a letter from Money again after we'd gotten into the term. Saying, I mean, it was about the time when Baba was going to step out from the new life into the old life for one day. And again, the same reasons, if you can, you know, if Miss Groom is willing to have you come back and all that, you get your jobs back, then you may come. So again, we approached Miss Groom. And again, she gave us the same reply and said we could go. And of course, unfortunately, our workload was given to all the other teachers, divided among them. So our name was mud with the teachers. But that didn't worry us very much. And I'd explained to Baba one day when we were with him, I said, Baba, of course we'll abide by what you say, but this is just some incident that's happened, and that is that when there's a teacher's meeting, usually they serve tea and cakes and things afterwards, and each time we've had to say no thank you. And they look down at us, you know, as if we're sort of, you know, it's burning their food. And so if we could have an exception at that time, that would be nice. But if you still want us to continue not to accept food, we do whatever you say. So Baba said, no, at that particular time, you can accept the food, but otherwise not. So
you said also when you go to visit other Baba lovers.
Yes. So usually, especially during the summer months, that we had plenty of time on our hands. So we used to go and visit Baba lovers, and we had explained to him that we were never allowed to accept solid food, but we could accept a liquid refreshment. So it was the mango season, so they would take mangoes and mash them up into a pulp and add a bit of milk or cream, and then we could drink it. Or they'd mash up the ice cream and make it nice and soft so it was drinkable. And other sort of sweet things like that they would do for us. And we never asked them to do that on their own because they knew that we could only have liquid refreshment. So in that case, they used it prepared for it. Different other Baba lovers also. There was, Andavas's home we went to very often because Naja and Katie were staying with her at that time. And especially in February, there was, of course, Baba's birthday. And Anavaz always gives a buffet supper at that time for all the Baba lovers in Bombay. So naturally, she wanted Kitty and me to come. But there was this
condition about the food. So what she did was that she prepared two plates with a little of each thing that she was serving to her guests, and she wrapped it up, and she had the servant take it to Homai and told Homai that this was the food for us. Homai came to us and said, "I'm not cooking for you tonight, so you will have to eat what I'm giving you here." So we took those plates, and then we went back with them to Anavasis and never took anything from any of the platters or anything, but just ate exactly what Homai had given to us. So we felt that we were obeying Baba's order because Homai was not cooking for us that night. So this would be what we would have to eat in this. Anyway, to go back to the middle of, I think it was...
Well, in July, you said you went
after July, yeah. So then we went to be with Baba during that period when he stepped out of the new life. And then we stayed on quite a while until almost Diwali. And Diwali was earlier than what it is now. And we were really gone a long time. But Miss Groom never questioned anyway. It's the only one time she happened to write to Kitty and said, "Would I take the counter half of the class that Kitty had?" She had 6B, so Miss Groom would want me to take 6A. And I said to Kitty, "Look, this is foolishness. My workload is not so heavy, so I can help you now. And by helping you, we managed to make the thing, get everything done in the work. And if I have a class like yours, I'll have that responsibility. So I won't be able to help you in the same, and we'll be in the mess. So what is the point? Any one of the other teachers will be quite willing to accept that position. So why should I take it and give us more work than we've got now? And we've got more than enough now." So Kitty wrote back to Miss Groom. Miss Groom didn't mind. But at the time, then she also gave me more. She gave me dramatics. Mm-hmm. And Kitty used to prepare the script for the plays, and then I used to rehearse the children. And actually, we gave a play from one of the Dickens stories. And Miss Groom said it was the best thing they'd had in the school. And it didn't cost a cent. Because I had dresses that could fit the children and some hats that I could make into bonnets so it fit for that period. And I told them to borrow their brother's suits and make a four-in-hand tie for them so that way there was no expense to the school. So then we go back to, after the Diwali, we went back to the school and stayed on. Until then, it was more than that. I think we were there till after Christmas with Baba.
Where was that?
In Mahabaleshwar. And then the rest of that term until the summer vacation came, we were at the school teaching. And gradually I had gotten into it. I mean, I, you know, got more used to the children and all that sort of thing. I got along well with them. And, of course, Kitty was kept very busy with her classes. And then the summer holidays came, and we get a third letter from Mani asking us to come to Mahabaleshwar. They're going back to Mahabaleshwar. And I felt so relieved because this time it came during a holiday. Because I said if we had asked Miss Groom a third time, she just would have wondered what goes on and might have asked for an explanation. Up to now, she never inquired in any way. So then when we went to stay with Baba, one day Baba said to her, "Are you so engrossed in your work in Bombay that you want to continue there at the school? Because I'm going to Hyderabad now, and if you want to, you can come with me. But mind, you'll have to get a job in Hyderabad." "Oh," I said, "I'm not that wedded to Bombay." I said, "If there's an opportunity to go with you, Baba, somehow it'll work, and we'll find something in Hyderabad, but I'm coming with you." And Kitty agreed also. But then Kitty said, "Now, Baba, Miss Groom has been so remarkable in letting us go without questioning at any time that we really should go back now when the school opens for 2 months to allow her to get replacements now that we're definitely leaving." Because we never let her think we'd be permanent. We used to tell her someday we may have to go back to the West